I don't know about you, I had this weird dream last night where my alarm went off and our whole family decided to get together in the office. It was very strange. And then I woke up and then...
And
there we were, yeah.
I didn't dream last night.
You didn't... I just dropped the most crucial part of my dream. I was just about to give a speech.
You gave a speech?
I want to start
a little bit differently than we normally do. We don't have to do all the parsha. I gave you a bunch of Tehillim because there's a parak of Tehillim that Rav Mertzbach sent out that I've been saying after davening all the time. So before we're going to do Devarim, we're going to go to Tehillim. And it's actually a parak that raises some questions for me. I'm not sure. I don't have an answer. But it's very important. I put a bunch of Siddurim in the middle. So you can say there's a bunch of Tehillim. Everybody would grab it and turn to Tehillim Kuf Mem Dalet. It's 144. Okay? And there might be even more. We definitely have more Tehillim all over the place. But you can all share. This parak, I've been saying it a lot, and it's giving me a lot of comfort. And it ends off in a very interesting way, as you'll soon see. And it's very important to see it, and maybe it'll help you as well, because it speaks to our situation, and it leaves some questions open. Okay, so we'll start with the Tehillim, and then of course we'll segue into the Chumash, because I've got a midrash that's going to blow your mind. Okay, as we always do. L'David Baruch Adonai Tzuri Amalamed Yadai Lakrav Etzba'otai LaMilchama. We're just going to go through. I'm going to translate word for word because it's a very relevant, as you'll soon
that's
see.
That's my thing that I say to the Shammai.
This is what you say?
Yeah.
For
Leah.
For? We're in Kuf Mem Dalet. Kuf
Mem Dalet. That actual line. When you get to Shammai, you're supposed to say.
When you get to.
Your pasuk.
Yeah.
Oh, that's your pasuk.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay, Lamed and Hey. Oh, okay. Yes, I'm aware that exists. I don't do it. I don't do it. Okay. To David, blessed is God, Tzuri. Tzur. What is Tzur? My rock. Hamed Lamed Yadai Lakrav.
My hands are made for battle.
For battle. Who teaches, Milamed, he teaches my hands for battle. Etzba Otai, my fingers, Lamilchama, for war. God is a God of war. Right? We talk about that. We don't talk about it often, but we search to God for guidance. Even Etzbeotai LaMilchama, he guides us in war. Chasdi u'mitzudati, he is my chesed, my kindness, my mitzuda, my fortress. Okay, misgavi u'mefalti li magini ubo chasiti. Misgav, you ever heard of the place called Misgav Ladach? What's Misgav?
Mm-hmm.
Misgav is like my refuge. Very good. Umifalti, liflot, pleita, sherita pleita. Again, it's another word for refuge. Li magini, he is my magen, my shield. Ubo chasiti. Lachsot tachat knafav means I have. He has covered me, but lachsot tachat knafav means I have been shielded, protected. Harodeid ami tachtai. This is actually a very difficult phrase to translate. The hardest one, probably, in the parak. Harodeid amim tachtai. I'm going to read you the Dat Mikra. Hamachnia et ha'amim, who subjugates the nations, mapilam la'aretz, brings them down, v'shotcham tachat raglai, and he spreads them out under my feet. There's only one problem with that translation. Okay, harodeid ami. It's not ami. It's amim. They translate it as amim. Otherwise, you have a difficulty understanding what the parak means. Gimbal. Adonai ma'adam v'tedaehu. Ben enosh v'techashveu. God, what is man that you should know him? Son of man, that you should techashveu. That you should consider him. Lachshiv, to give him consideration. Adam lahevel dama. Yamav kitzel over. Man is like, what's hevel?
Nothing.
Nothingness. His days are kitzel over.
Shadow.
A fleeting shadow. It's like, and the thing that's interesting about a shadow, it's not even hevel. Hevel is steam. It has some mamashut. It has some
consistency.
A shadow, a fleeting shadow. What does it leave?
Nothing.
By the way, anybody recognize those psukim? You ever heard them?
Yeah, it's from the
right, and you might also hear them at a funeral. You might hear them at a funeral. These two psukim are sometimes borrowed from there. Okay. So what have we seen so far? God is my God of war. He guides me in war. He protects me. He shields me. Then we see a left turn to Pasuk Gimel, where he starts and then talks about the smallness of man. It's a very interesting phenomenon, because I'm on the one hand searching for guidance in God in war, but as we all know, someone in battle, there's pandemonium. There's randomness. There's chance. And who am I to ask God to protect me in the middle of all this death? What is man? What is life? Now we turn again. Adonai hat shemecha v'tered. Hate. What does hate mean? Hate aznecha. Turn your ear. Hat shemecha. Turn your name. V'tered. Descend. Ga beharim v'ye'eshanu. Ga means to... Help me out here. Anybody have? Does anybody have English here? To touch, right? Vayeshanu, and what will they do? Ashan? And they will smoke. So now what am I asking God to do? Get in! Let's go! Barok Barak Utefitzein. Barok Barak? What's Barak?
Lightning.
Lightning your lightning, Utefitzein. And spread them out. Disperse them. Shlach Chitzecha. Send your arrows. Utehumein. Confuse them. Mehuma. Shlach yadecha mimarom. Send your hand mimarom from the heavens. Pitzeni. Pitzeni means open up for me, redeem me. Hatzileni mimayim rabim. Miyad b'nei nechar. What? Rescue me from mimayim rabim. Mayim rabim is a literary form. When we're in mayim rabim, how do we feel when we're in deep waters?
In trouble.
What's that?
Adirim,
Mishav Reyam, right? I mean, these are very famous, well-known phrases. But I feel like in all of this, I'm
drowning.
Yeah. Does it sound familiar? Mm-hmm. It sounds like we don't have a way out. I don't know. I don't understand. I don't have a solution. Why? Asher pihem diber shav, v'yaminam yamin shaker. Their mouths are words of lies. Their right hands are right hands of falseness. Sound familiar? If you do this, God, Elohim shir chadash ashir alach. I will sing you a new song. Benevel asor azam ralach. I will not just sing you a song, nevel asor. 10 nevalim. I will sing to you. Hanotein tshuah lamalachim, hapotze David avdo, mecherev ra'ah. He who gives salvation to kings, he who redeems David his servant from the evil sword, Pitzeni v'hatzileni miyad b'nei nechar. Redeem me, open up for me, save me from the hands of the b'nei nechar. The Nachrin, right? Asher pihem di bershav v'yaminam yamin shaker. You see, there's a repetition. You notice it says it twice. They're liars, they're thieves, they're sheker. They don't say a word of truth. It's like he's writing it for today, doesn't he? You know? Like shlach hitzecha, bach hitzein. Okay, that's the end of the. It's fascinating, the war part. It's very fascinating.
You see the flash floods in England.
The flash floods in England? No, I didn't know. Interesting. Okay, so he turns to God. There's this short, like, God, you're my redeemer. You taught me how to fight. Okay, you're my shield. Then there's two psukim about the smallness of man, the insignificance of man. Meaning, I don't even really know why I should have the right to ask you. Because we're so small, we're so important. Nonetheless, I want you to guide me, to fight for me. To send down your lightning, to shoot your arrows. To smoke the mountain. To send your hand out and redeem me. And now we turn to our enemies. What are our enemies? PM, Diber Shav, Yeminam, Yemin Shaker. They're liars, they're falsehood. They don't tell the truth. Their right hand is falseness. Derech Agav, what is right hand usually referred to? Yamin is the strong hand. Their hand of strength is lies. It's a hand of sheker.
It's creepy.
Yeah, it is creepy. Please redeem me, God. We're now Pasuk Yud Bet. Asher Banenu, this is where the question comes in. So now we understand all this to now, because it speaks about the complication, the confusion. Please, God, save me. Why should you save me? I don't really deserve anything. I need you to be strong, because there are liars and the water, and I feel overwhelmed. I turn to you. Yibet. Asher b'neinu kinetiim. Megudalim b'ne'urehem. B'noteinu kezaviyot. Our sons are kinetiim. Neta, they're strong plants. Growing in their youth. B'noteinu kezaviyot. Our daughters are like zaviyot. They're like porcelain. I don't know how you say it exactly. They are... the pillars. Yeah, very good. Pillars. You said that. Very good. Mechutavot tavnit hechal. They're hewn, the tavnit of the hechal, the image of the hechal. Mizaveinu mileim. Our storehouses are full. Mefikim mizan elzan. They're full from end to end. Our storehouses, our economy is great. So neinu me'alifot merubabot. Our sheep are not prosperous and numerous. Mechutzotenu, in our gates. Alufeinu mesubalim. He says there, these are our eilim. Our rams are mesubalim. Our fat. Ein peretz ve'ein yotzeit. Nobody runs away. Ve'ein tzvachah b'chovotena. There are no cries in our streets. It's very interesting. So he says, asher. Do you see the word asher in Pasuk Yudbet? Asher means for that. And the for that, the rest of these three psukim is, everything is great. Our children, our sons are tall and they're growing, and our daughters are beautiful, and our storehouses are full, and our sheep are fat, and the crops are growing. And no one's worried. Ve'ein tzvachar b'chovotenu. No one cries out in our streets. And then it ends. Ashrei ha'am shekacha lo, ashrei ha'am she'adonai lo. Fortunate is the nation that this is their lot. Fortunate is the nation that God, that Hashem is their God. I leave you with the question. I'm saying this every day. What does the last part have to do with the first part? What is the, okay, God of war and guide me and lead me. But it is troubled times. It starts with war.
That's not our problem. I mean, economic.
What do you mean it's not our problem? I don't understand.
In the past, yeah. That would be what people every day they needed to feed themselves. And that was the trouble.
Okay. What is David saying? I agree with you. It's
saying we accept that's our lot. Like that's what we have to contend with. That. I know it says Ashrei, but that's how I take it.
By the way, anybody know what the next parak is? Kuf Mem Hey? Next parak? Tehillah leDavid, Harumimcha Ashrei. Okay. So what's interesting that you don't see here? Like if you look at this pasuk. Ashrei begins, Ashrei ha'am shekach alo, Ashrei ha'am she'ashem eloav, Tila lu David. What doesn't it begin with? Ashrei Ashrei v'itecha, od yaledu chasela. What would have been fascinating why the author of Psukei Dezimra chose to start with this pasuk, add another pasuk beforehand, and not the ones before that. I don't really know, I have an answer. Asher, in the Dat Mikra, he seems to say, Asher is so that we will have. If we win the war, then this will bring us to. But I really resonated the way Laurie said it. To me, it's more that you can have both at the same time. And this is the situation we find ourselves in, and part of why it speaks to us, to me, so strongly. This description is a description of us. Vanenu kinetiim. Our sons are strong, are kinetiim, as strong plants. Mugudalim, there's growing. Our daughters are like these pillars. But our stores are full. Our economy is strong.
It's almost like it's sheker. And yeah, like we're saying, like you're saying, you're fighting these lies, blah, 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 and your economy is strong and everything. But like, what is that? What is it to have a strong economy? What is it to live nicely
when
you don't have peace? If you're fighting, if you're like.
What's the end of the parak? Ashrei ha'am shekach alo, Ashrei ha'am she'adonai lo. So now, is it only on the Ashrei? Is that only on the second part?
But it's almost
that. Or is it also on the first part? And I don't. I'm not giving you answers. I'm suggesting to you it's left open. It's a very strange parak because of the one at the first hand. I understand totally. The second part I understand beautifully. What in the world do they have to do with each other? But we live in this. But at the same time, that's what poetry is all about. We live in this world where we're struggling between these these opposites in a way. That we have to fight this war, and our enemies are liars and cheaters, and there's not a word of truth and comes out of them. And we turn to God and we ask for salvation. While at the same time, you know what I'm saying? Okay, we were woken up in the middle of the night. Right? But look at our homes, look at our lives, look at the
soldiers are up all night anyway.
What's that?
Soldiers are up all night.
They're up all night anyway. Yeah, we feel it. Tel Aviv got it the first time. It's just the juxtaposition is strong, and I think the ending is powerful to me. The beginning and the ending are important. Because on the one hand, we have to also say, we feel this, Hatzileni Mimayim Rabim, right? We feel the turbulent waters. We do, and we turn to God. And it's very easy to have kavana for the first psukim, right? That we say, you know, these psukim, it's easy to say, Hatshemecha v'tered, ga b'harim v'ye'eshanu, b'rok b'rak t'vitzein, shlach itzecha. Those are easy to say. But we also have to say that even when Mayim Ad Nafesh, Ashrei Ha'am Shekach Alo, Ashrei Ha'am Shadonai Lo. And that all, it goes together sometimes, even if we don't understand.
But how do you feel like the Achdut in Eretz Yisrael is saying Ashrei Ha'am Shekach
Alo? I agree. What's that? You have to turn them into a gift. It's hard to say that they're actually a gift. You know, there's a lot of suffering. It could have been worse. But you can't say... Ah, so we're undoubtedly being sent a message. The trick is to figure out... 100%. 100%. What do you mean?
We're witnessing, as we're in this, watching these lies, blah, 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 we're also witnessing these incredible miracles on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
And we have such great gratitude to Hashem for it. And at the same time, as our sheep are fattened, da, 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 we also have a karsatov to Hashem that He's given us panas and He's given us an ability to live this way. There's a karsatov on both ends. There should be a karsatov on both ends.
Totally agree with you. It's, you know, I was watching once Fox News from Gaza. And from Gaza, you can see in the background the lights of Ashdod. And you think to yourself, it's not that far. It's not that hard to hit. It shouldn't be that hard to hit. You know what I'm saying? And I'm sure the Arabs are thinking the same thing to themselves.
Somebody put a story on the listserv yesterday of one of her students who really wasn't connected, or his students, I don't know, was not connected and is working Iron Dome. And they can tell within 200 meters of where a rocket is going to land. One was heading towards Azrieli building.
Really?
And they shot up a rocket, it missed. They shot up a second, and it missed. Shot up a third, and it missed. They activated the emergency system, that all emergency personnel is going to be a mass destruction, you know. And a wind came.
Huge wind came. Oh my gosh.
And pushed the rocket into the ocean.
That's where that Thurman student I saw.
Is this documented?
It was somebody, I don't remember who it was, they put it
on the server.
So, what about in Paris?
Tehillim are not meant, the recitation of Tehillim are not meant, I've stopped trying to say the famous two, Shir HaMaalot Mimam Makim. I say them when they say them in shul, but I think they become too rote, they become too... To you know them by heart, and when you know it by heart, when it's so rote, you could just say it like, oh, da, 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 Imam Makim, Gertir Hashem, like la 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 la. No, Imam Makim is from the depths of your heart. It's from Makim when you're in the depths. That's when you say that one. You know what I'm saying? So I'm trying to say this one, this Kuf Mem Dalet that Rav Hillel set down, because it's different and it's not the one I know. And Tehillim are meant. Somebody I heard it at this conference I was at yesterday. That they're meant to be digested over time. They're meant to allow us to develop a certain sensitivity, a certain appreciation, a certain understanding, a certain connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not just, you can't just have the, yeah, God, go get them. You have to have them, Adam, the Hevel Dema. You have to have that sense of smallness. You have to have that sense of appreciation. You have to have the Ashrei Ha'am Shekachalo. You have to have all of that together, these mixed emotions that we have. And that's why we recite them. That's why we say them. And hopefully they can bring you as much comfort as they brought me in the past few weeks. Nice. Good job. Okay. You can do more? You can do more? Great.
Baba, maybe also the first line is the acronym for layer of names. You make it to
I don't have any experience in the first. I know there's a Kabbalistic idea of saying the first name and the last name. I know that after Shmona Esrei it exists. But I'm not familiar with the... You know, the what I understood is that you say that pasuk, you have your pasuk. Because then after you die, like when you get up to Shemayim, they ask you what your name was, and you don't really know, but you have this pasuk that's been so ingrained in your head, and they'll know what your name was. I'm not kidding. I've heard that. I've also been at funerals. After the person's buried, I've seen people go up and say, your name is Yechezkel Chaim, or whatever the guy's name was. I never did that. I'm too much of a rationalist for that. Yeah, but many a funeral I've been to where they do that. How do they know your name? How are you going to... I have a very cynical question. How are you not going to know if your name is maybe Leora? Or, you know...
No, my name is Leora.
Or Leah.
And I'm saying it applies to all the names of
Solomon. Oh, so they say you're... Okay, they'll just call you Leah, Leora, whatever up there. As long as they get it close. It's fine. Okay. I'm too rational. It's not... It doesn't work for me. But it's good. So, Kuf Mem Dalet. That's Kuf Mem Dalet. I felt strongly I wanted to share that parak. It's a very beautiful parak. Okay, turn to parak, Dvarim Parak Bet, Pasuk Yud Zayin. Do you know that Azza appears in this week's Parsha?
Yeah. Surprise me.
What? Azza appears in this week's Parsha.
All the Parsha.
What?
The war
happened. Yeah. Yeah, well.
Parak Bet.
Pasuk, we're going to start with Yud Zayin. Okay? Moshe Rabbeinu, very good. Moshe Rabbeinu is turning towards. This is the speech, the long speech. It's a month-long speech. He tells them in many other ways. Moshe Rabbeinu has one message. What's the message? I think it's a very relevant message for us today. Anybody know what the message of Sefer Dvarim? You have to boil it down into two words. Two words. Two Hebrew words. Anyone?
Choose good.
Choose life. That's not the two that I would pick. The two that I would pick are Chazak ve'ematz. Be strong. Do not fear. Do what you need to do. Conquer the land of Israel. It's yours. What? Chazak ve'ematz? That's what she would say? Did it help? Did it help? Okay. Don't fear. And Moshe, I found it twice in this week's Parsha. I'll just read it for you. You don't have to turn. You can check it later. In Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chaf, Aleph, Moshe says, Al tira ve'al techat. Don't fear, don't tremble. You can do this. And Pasuk Chaf Tera, Perek Aleph, he says, Lo ta'artsun. You shall not ta'artsun. Rashi says ta'artsun means shvira. You should not break. Don't let them break you. Don't be afraid. We're not afraid. We're all reading the parsha. We're all reading the parsha. What? He hasn't read the parsha. Okay. Yeah, we're not going to talk about that. I don't want to say bad things. Okay, so we're on Yud Zayin. So they're about to land, move into Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan, and Moshe says the following. God said to me, you shall pass over the border of Moab, and you will pass close, opposite Amon. Do not afflict them. Thank you. Ve'altit garbam.
Contend with them.
Don't attack. Amon. Ki lo eten me'eretz b'nei Amon l'cha yirusha. Ki livnei no detatei yirusha. You don't get that land. Rather, I'll give it to Lot. By the way, this has already happened. Why is... The question I want to ask you is, why is Moshe telling them this history lesson? And it's one thing to say, do not be afraid, conquer the land, it's your land. But why is Moshe Rabbeinu reviewing what he told them not to do? Now we continue, and it gets even stranger. Eretz Ephraim techashev afhi. Karen, I need your help again. I don't even know how to translate it.
A land of Ephraim that also is accounted.
That also is?
Accounted.
I don't know. For what? Who knows? Yashvuba lifanim They dwelled inside it. In the Ammonim, yikru lehem zamzumim. The Ammonim called it zamzumim. Sounds like Gagan, zamzumim, right? It's, okay. The Ammonim called it zamzumim. Am gadol v'ra v'ram ka'anakim. They were a great giant nation. V'yashmidim Hashem mipneihem v'yirashum v'yishvu tachtam. So the God destroyed them, and He drove them out, and then the Ammonim came and lived in their place. Ka'asher asa livnei Esav v'yoshvim b'seir. Just that's exactly what happened to the children of Esav. Asher hishmidat ha'chori mipneihem. They destroyed the chori. V'yirashum. And they inherited them. They drove them out. V'yishvu tachtam ad yom hazeh. And now they're living in that place to this very day. Chav kibbo. V'ha'avim yoshvim b'chatzeirim ad aza. There's your Aza reference. Okay. The avim are dwelling in chatzeirim all the way up to Aza. I don't know if they say, I have no idea if it's the same Aza. No clue. Kaftorim ayotimi kaftor. So the kaftorim that came from kaftor, hishvidum v'yishvu tachtam. They drove them out and they're dwelling in another place. We all obviously have to ask a fascinating question, which is, who cares? You know what I'm saying? In the middle of my speech, let me tell you about a little bit of ancient history about the regional wars between the different warring factions. This guy drove out that guy, and this guy drove out that guy, and they called it Zamzumim, and they called it Charuvim. What in the world is this information important? Why do I need to know this at all? Fascinatingly, what? Okay.
So that's like the history of the
world. So what? But the Torah is not a world history book. There's a lot of world history that's not in here.
Yeah, but this is right next door.
What?
This is right next door, so it hasn't actually changed.
It hasn't actually changed. That's actually, they're all driving each other out.
The nature of that part of
the world. Okay. It's the nature of the part of every world. Everyone fights about every part of the world. I saw somebody shared some video about people are fighting about this piece of land forever. And the reason people have been fighting about this piece of land forever is because this is where people have lived forever. Name me a part of the world that people haven't fought about and killed each other over. They're now killing each other over parts of the Ukraine. What?
Iceland.
What's that?
Iceland.
Nobody wants to live there. Exactly.
Oh, that's where we can send them.
Name a place that people want to live and people are killing each other over it. So, you know what I'm saying? Why?
But you said, as you said, we've said before, the land is a living thing.
Ah, we have said that, but I want to get to a different point. So I think the point about the first test, if you have a strong, when the Jewish people emerge from the desert, their children, the children of the original generation, they're chomping at the bit. They're like ready to go. They're not afraid. They want to fight. What's the first thing that God tells them to do? No, right, exactly. Don't fight. These people you can't fight. And sometimes, that's a harder test than to actually go and fight.
We've tried
that. What? Oh, no, one second. Why is it a harder test? Why did God tell them not to fight?
It wasn't their land.
Correct. Meaning, do you think that your ability to win is based upon the fact that I give you this land and I give you your strength? Or do you believe that your ability to win is based upon your strength and your desire and your heart? And the answer obviously must be, and that was the case of the Meraglim, that they failed, because when they were afraid, and God told them to go, they didn't go. And when then the next day they weren't afraid, God said, don't go, and they did go, and they suffered for it. They suffered terribly for it. Here, the next generation, the first lesson that God wants to teach them is, the reason why you're inheriting this land, and the reason why you're going to be victorious, is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you because He gave you this land. And some parts of it He gave you, and some parts of it He did not. A strong army, its intuition, its inclination, especially in those times, were conquer. Take what you can. Build up your strength. Comes on Kadosh Baruch Hu and says, yes, when I say so, in the things that I've given you. I've made promises. Your grandfather made promises. We'll see Avraham Avinu made promises. Those promises have to be kept. And because you keep the breach, that guarantees your victory. And I think it's a really important point, and it's something that we forget about. Our right to be in this place at this time is because God gave us this land, because we believe in that. And like it's become so, how should we say, cliched and scorned upon in the world that we don't say it enough. This is my land. This is the land that God gave me. And I'm not afraid to say it, and I'm not ashamed to say it, and that's what I believe. And I think part of our weakness stems from the fact that, you know, we talk about all kinds of different things. We talk about democracy and being fair, and we're peace-loving people, and all these things are great and true. But this is our land because God gave it to us, and God wants us to be here. And we will defend it because of that, first and foremost. And we will protect our right to be here. We will fight for that right. Because that's why we were placed. That's why we were placed here. At the same time, we have no regional, what shall we say, right, or desire. We have no illusions of grandeur. We're not interested. We don't want to drive anyone into the sea. We want the land that God gave us, nothing more, nothing less. And I think that's a very relevant point, because it begins with what you don't take. And when you withdraw, then that gives you the right to take what you do take. I'm going to read you a very famous Midrash. Midrash asks exactly this question. Why in the world is this important? Is this relevant? Okay? Amar Rab Shimon ben Lakish. Said Reish Lakish. Harbe mikraot shiru'im lisrof. There are a lot of psukim that seem worthy, ru'im lisrof. You could just burn them. Who needs them? V'hein hein gufei Torah. But they are the essence of the Torah. And he gives an example. Like, what's a seemingly superfluous pasuk? Our pasuk, Chaf Gimel. V'ha'avim ha'yoshvim b'chaseim ad Gaza. My nafkalan mizah, who cares? Who cares that the avim were there ad Gaza? This guy takes over this guy's land, that guy takes over that guy's land. Okay? So he says the Midrash. Mide'ashbe'e Avimelech la'Avraham. Avimelech made Avraham swear, im tishkor li ulenini ulenechdi. You promise you won't attack me, my sons, my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. Okay? V'adayin lo avru elu hadorot, but the generations haven't passed. So says the Midrash the following. So could we attack Gaza or not? Maybe it's the Avimelech, maybe it's the land of the Plishtim. Therefore comes Moshe and says, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God said, Leito. Right? They're not the same people. Leito, they came. Kaftarim, the Kaftarim came. V'lifgu me'ivim. They kicked out the Ivim who were the Plishtim. Meaning, people say, what right do you have to take that land? Doesn't it belong to Avimelech? Doesn't it belong to another country? God gave it to them. The answer is, that's not them. It's not their land. They came in and they kicked out the people that were there in the first place. So therefore, Yavo Yisrael, Leitu Yisrael, V'leifgu me'kaftarim. The reason you have the right to kick out the kaftarim is because the kaftarim aren't Avimelech. It's not their land either. Sound familiar? Right? Everybody goes, it's our land. We were here. You weren't here first. You came from somewhere else also. So to claim that this is your God-given land, it's a bunch of baloney. Who did you have to kick out? Reminds me of the pasuk. Yaminam yamin shaker. It doesn't matter what the truth is. It also matters what the truth is. It says the same thing. This is very relevant today. It's a midrash that actually appears in the first Rashi in the Torah. But it's from our pasuk. Okay? Matam gila hakadosh baruch hu ma nivra biyom rishon. You're familiar with this Rashi. Why did God reveal what happened on the first day, on the second day, etc., etc.? Okay? Why? Because umot, the nations of the world. You can include this in United Nations, our good friends. Okay? So that they won't afflict Israel and say, hello, omashel bozuzimatem. You are a nation of plunderers and pillarers. That's all you do. You're conquerors. Yisrael mishiv enotam v'omrim. So Israel will respond to them and say, "Vatem halo b'zuzah yibiyadchem." What did you do? You did the exact same thing. Halo, this pasuk, kaftori mayotzi mi kaftor hishmidum v'yeshvu tachta. You're claiming this is your natural right. You stole it from somebody else, and now all of a sudden we're not supposed to take it. No, we believe in a Torah. We believe that God created the world. We believe that God gave us this land. It's the first Rashi in the Torah, and it's interesting because it's connected to this pasuk. This seemingly unimportant detail. The unimportant detail being, where did you get it from? When did you come? Who does it really belong to? And you can't say this stuff on CNN because nobody cares, and it's not interesting because it's not relevant. It's not.
CNN is a bit of a scam.
Well, I don't know. I'm not following all the news. It almost seems like, Doesn't it seem like this? Like, no matter what, didn't you know from the very beginning we were going to lose the PR war at some point?
We always do.
So, how do you, like... America has a very strong pro-Israel, pro-Israel. I have a friend. Did I tell you this last week? On Facebook, he shared. He lectured in the Sorbonne last week. Wasn't such. Sorbonne is like the big university in Paris. Yeah. He was in Paris when those mobs in a restaurant in the Jewish quarter when those mobs went through.
I read it.
Oh, you read it.
Yeah.
Holy mackerel. They shut all the shutters. They closed it as if the whole place was closed down. And they were holed up in this murder joint, waiting for the mob to pass.
So scary.
Very scary.
It's very scary.
Okay. It's not all over again. It's not the Europeans. The Europeans allowed them to be overtaken or... What? Yeah, of course.
Okay, so it's like Nazis taking over.
They really are.
I'm not a European. I don't know. You guys tell
Brussels,
me.
Brussels?
Pasuk Chavdalin. Kumu Su'u. This midrash will blow your mind. Kumu Su'u v'ivru et Nachal Arno. Go pasu Nachal Arno. Re'ei. See. Natati b'yadcha et tzichon melech cheshbon ha'amori v'et artso. Hachel rash. I have given you, so you ignore Amon. You can't attack them. But Sichon, I have given you. Hachel, rush. Hachel, begin, rush.
To drive them out.
Drive them out. Hatgar bo milchama.
Provoke
war with him. Attack. Okay, we're going to see what Moshe does in a second. Midrash says the following. This Midrash is crazy. Kumu su'u vivru et Nachal Arnon. Go over, pass over Nachal Arnon. So the Midrash says, what in the world is the relevance of Nachal Arnon? What happened in Nachal Arnon? Shnei harim hayu mimot olam ze kenegad ze. He says there were two mountains, one connected to the other, one opposite the other. Adam omeid behar ze, v'chaviru omeid behar ze, mesichin ze. The mountains were like two ranges. You could talk on one and you could talk to the other. Okay? I'm going to skip a little bit of the details. Be'echad yesh bo me'arot mitzadeh. One of them had
tunnels,
caves. Vasheni yesh bo blitot b'chuvanim. So this one had tunnels, holes, and this one had protrusions. Almost like a piston in a sense. Okay? Ma'asu ha'emorim. What did the Amorites do? Halchu ha'giborim shalahem v'yashvu lahem b'me'arot. Their giborim sat in the tunnels, and they said, k'sheyardu Yisrael l'toch ha'nachal, when the Jews, when Israel goes into this wadi, anu yardim aleihem ve'inam magishim banu. Will descend upon them, they won't feel us. Ad sha'anu ba'alim aleihem me'achareihem, until we come behind them, u'mechalim otam, and we'll wipe them out.
Yeah.
It's not a new strategy, this tunnel thing. It's in the Midrash, I'm reading you Dvarim Rabbah. Ve'Yisrael einam yodim. And of course, the Jews had no idea. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So said God, shelo yisayu Yisrael mityagim aleihem odim miyomdim. Okay, so that the Jewish people would not have to go up the mountain and down the mountain. Hikif HaKadosh Baruch Hu Harim Zelazeh. He brought them close together. V'nichnesu haharim etoch ha'me'arot. Now remember, there's a protrusion. So the protrusion went into the tunnels, into the caves. V'ritzesu kol gabrim shebetachtam. And all of the
contents,
the enemies, they were crushed. V'avru Yisrael v'lo yadu ma'anasa lehem. And the Jewish people had no idea. They didn't know that they were miraculously saved. The Yisrael mishavru amar kadosh baruch hu. When the Jewish people passed, so God said, "V'lo odiei ma nisim asiti lahem." I shouldn't tell them what miracles I should do. So what did he do? Therefore, the be'er, the well, went v'yashva b'nachal hazeh, and it started gushing water. And the water level rose. Rotsiya kol harugim shebemarot, and all the people that were killed in the caves, in the tunnels, floated up to the surface. And then, okay, when the Jewish people, they were like, where is our water? So like, oh, the water went down there. Why did the water go down there? They went down there and they saw what had happened. Then it says, Ota sha'a patru Yisrael epiyem ve'amru shira. He said, praise, shne'amar, az yashir Yisrael. Just me, I read this Midrash, and the Midrash is giving us the solution to the problem. No, just yesterday, 2 days ago, I was in a car, and we're talking about this. Everybody thinks they have to solve the problem. So somebody here, Avram Grabowski, he said his brother-in-law works in a company, and he brought this problem to the Misrada Bitachon, you know, 2 years ago. This tunnel problem. So his solution to the problem is, he thinks that they have to dig wells every 30, 40 meters. You dig wells and you fill them with water.
Or sewage?
No, it's not sewage. It's seawater. Seawater. And then if it's filled, what it does is the water will seep. 30 meters down is the water table. So you can't dig more than 20 meters. This is his solution. I know we all know he had to solve the problem. But he says you dig wells every 30 meters and you fill them with water. That way, if somebody's digging a tunnel, it'll seep in the water and you'll be able to see the water level in your be'er and your well go down and you'll know exactly where the tunnels are being dug. So the solution is the Be'er Mayim. That's the solution.
That's what I just said, but the air.
Yeah.
That's Kalim Irit. That's Kalim Irit.
Air.
So the whole... you creep me out. Okay, yeah.
That's not the one I said, the Lepayah. That's Kalim Irit.
Yeah.
Because of the Be'er.
Because of the Be'er. Well, that now you saw it in the Midrash. Okay? I don't know, you do with it again. You know,
you did creep me out.
He said the Leviah, that he said the air.
The air. That's Kalim, Irit, and Rachel.
Wow. But this is right, you know, this is somehow on our parsha, right next to the Pasuk. You think that, I don't know, right next to the Pasuk about Aza. You do it the way you like. Okay?
Everything's in the Torah.
What? But what I would like to point out is the second time, this is the second reference to Az Yashir Yisrael. Do we say Shira? Ladies, do we say Shira? Do we recite Shira? Even David HaMelech and Tehillim that we mentioned, he said, Shira Lashir Chadash. Are we saying Shira? You know, in the middle, it's very hard in the middle. He's in the middle of battle, David HaMelech, but still he's really ready to say Shira. And that has to be part of it as well. When you say modim every day, you have to give hoda'ah. You have to give thanks. You have to appreciate, we see the miracles, but we have to say thanks for them. Let's go on a little more, then we'll stop. Okay, Hayom Azeh Achel Teit Pachtech, so Moshe says, attack. Hayom Azeh Achel Teit Pachtech v'yiratcha apnei ha'amim, tachat shel kol ha'shamayim, asher yishmu'un shim'acha v'ragzu v'chalu v'panecha. This day, I have given my fear in the face of the nations, under the heavens, that they should hear Shim'acha about you. They should hear about you. They should hear your sound. V'ragzu, they should tremble. V'chalu mipanecha, and they should. And they should withdraw from you. They're going to be afraid of you when they hear how strong you are. So God says to Moshe. In other words, what did God say to Moshe to do? What? Chazak v'emat and attack. Next pasuk. Vashlach malachim mimibar k'temot el sichon melech hashbon divrei shalom lemor. And what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? Messenger of peace. Can I go on your land? We'll buy food from you, etc., etc., etc. Blah, blah, blah. Tach, can you give me the red dvarim? Okay. What? I'll give you electricity. Oh, you have it? I need that. Yeah, please. I'll trade with you. I'll trade with you. One second. And of course, Lamed, we skipped the Lamed a second. V'lo ava Sichon melech hashbon ha'abibayin ribar. And of course, Sichon didn't agree. Ki iksha Hashem elokin et lucho v'imet l'vavo. And of course, then we fought them and we slammed them. Simple question you have to ask yourself, of course, is, simple question, why did Moshe go straight to war? If God gives you a command, attack, can you imagine, lahavdil, Prime Minister says to the Ramakal, attack, and the Ramakal goes around his back and says, let's send messengers of peace. What?
Wasn't it Yaakov who gave the gifts first? Same idea.
God didn't tell Yaakov to attack Esau. God didn't give him an explicit instruction to attack. Hachel Resh, attack. So we have a few answers. We have three possible answers. First is Rashi. Okay? Rashi says, second. Rashi says, Mibark Demot. Everybody, you have to address this. How could Moshe Rabbeinu do this? Rashi says, Afa Pisha Lotzi Vani Hamakom Dikwa Lesichon Shalom. Even though God didn't command me to do this, Lamarati Mibar Sinai. What's Mibark Demot? The original desert. The original desert was the desert of Sinai. Min haTorah shekadma laOlam kidemot origin from the Torah. The original midbar, the original thing is the Torah. Why? Kishabakadosh Baruch Hu litnal Yisrael, when God gave the Torah to the Jewish people, first the midrash says Chazar Ota al Esav Yishmael. So he first offered him to Esav Yishmael. You all familiar with this midrash? You want it? What does it say? Don't kill. Nah, not for us. Okay. The Gailui Lefanav Shalo Yikabluha. But he knew they wouldn't accept it. The Afa Pikein Patach Lehem Shalom. Nonetheless, they opened with peace. Afani Kidam Tietzichon B'divrei Shalom. Yeah, we'll accept the ceasefire. If they accept the ceasefire, we'll be happy to accept the ceasefire. No. Knowing full well, ain't going to happen. Interesting. What's the benefit? So why did God offer the Torah if he knew that Amalek and Yishmael? Just because to say that you did? For who? For us?
Good PR.
Yeah,
why? Who cares?
Who cares?
I think it is for us. We avoided war. We did everything we could to avoid war.
Hmm.
And we can't avoid it, so...
Even though God said fight. God said fight.
Who aren't believers who also need that PR.
Interesting. Okay. Davar acher. Another idea. Mimar kedemot. Mimcha lamanati shekadamta la'olam. God, Moshe says to God, I did it because I learned it from you. Why? Yechol hayita lishloach barak echad lisof et Mitzrayim. You could have sent one barak. Mind you of something we read today? Right? Barok barak. Correct? Ella, one barak, one lightning bolt. You could have destroyed Egypt in one fell swoop, and somebody mentioned this before. We don't do that.
Yeah, if you wanted to decimate
it. We don't annihilate. If you want to, you could. Ella shlachani min hamidbar al paro. Lemo shlachet ami bematun. You sent me to send my nation out bematun.
Patiently.
It's not our way. We don't just destroy. Look at Ramban for a second. Ramban says something fascinating. Here we are. Ramban says, look at Chavdalid, if you have it. Re'ei na'atati v'yadcha tzichon. Ramban says, Hadibur hazeh hu ha'amor lemata. Re'ei achiloti teit lefanecha. V'kodem lachen shalach lo malachim mimibar k'demot. Ramban says, the psukim are out of order. He says, this happened beforehand. Because he says, when God says, commands Moshe, go attack, Moshe would never do it. So the Ramban says, it's so inconceivable that Moshe Rabbeinu would deviate from the direct command of God that the psukim have to be out of order. Of course, what do you have to explain then? Why are the psukim out of order? Esther? No. Oh, he says, Hikdim divrei Hashem, Lebaer, Ki Iksha Hashem Elokeinu et Ruchu. They're out of order. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he says, Va'ishlach Melachim Mimidbar, it doesn't mean I did it now, I did it before.
Another time.
Correct, I did it before. To show that God had wanted that it all came from God. He says, right, En Mukdam Mukhar. And see, but you see like the kind of mental gymnastics that he's going
to
go through.
Yeah.
Okay, last one, and with this we'll stop. Kliyakar. Kliyakar is on Nun Aleph at the bottom. Okay. Wait 1 second. No, not Nun Aleph. It's the next one. Nun Gimel at the bottom. Umash Shalach. I don't know if you have it. It's in the middle. It's at the end of this. It's like Umash Shalach Moshe Sichon Divrei Shalom. Afa Pishe Kvar Amar Lo Hashem Echeresh. Okay. So why in the world did Moshe send peace if God said not to? God said to attack. Levisha Moshe Rabbeinu Yada Beruach Hakodesh Alav Shelo Yishma Sichon. So he knew that they wouldn't listen. This is like Rashi, but. He opened with words of peace so as to prevent Chilul Hashem. Shelo yamru umot shebaim aleihem ba'akifim. So the nations of the world wouldn't say, you just attacked us unprovoked. So even if we know that they're not going to accept peace, nonetheless, Moshe Rabbeinu still decided, going against the direct order of God, to try and sue for peace. So that people wouldn't have the ability to say, all you are is a bunch of Jew warmongers. And then, of course, we do sue for peace. And they say, all you are is a bunch of Jew warmongers. But you got to do your best. Moshe Rabbeinu tried. Okay? Nonetheless, that's the idea of Rashi. So is there... Maybe Bibi did read the Parsha. Not just the part about attacking, but it's not. But the part about, we do have to worry about what people think of us. We do have to care. We do have to take into account what the world says, because it's important. It affects us. So, as
up to a point.
What?
Up to a point,
and then you attack. Nonetheless, as we continue another week, I think the Moshe Rabbeinu's his message is that central message of Chazak Be'ematz. It stands. We have to stand strong, because I think all of us feel, in a sense, we're getting tired. All of us are getting tired. And if we're getting tired, our soldiers are getting tired. We have to stand strong.
Our soldiers have been sending messages of what's going on out there. Why are you guys feeling demoralized? We're great. We're doing great.
Good. They can continue. Because when they get tired... when they get tired, we'll have to strengthen them. And it's very important, like you said, not to be like the negative. To be strong and to send the positive message, because it has an effect. Has a strong effect. And on that, on the one hand, and at the same time, if the Tehillim is a comfort, and the Tehillim is a way of connecting us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's a very powerful thing as well. And the third thing, finally, as we mentioned twice, David HaMelech mentioned it, and also it's mentioned in the Midrash, the idea of Hodayah. Even in the midst of all the struggles, we have to give strength. To see the miracles, not just to say, oh my God, it's incredible, but to give thanks to God. Because that's a very, very important message as well. All right, we'll stop here.